You might like to turn in your Bible to the first epistle of John and chapter 1. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy word, and our God, we're looking to you to help us in every way, and we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And in looking at the First John in particular, in the light of the Gospel of John, the 21 chapters which we just finished, and just reminding ourselves that John is looking to give us the understanding, admonishment, and to practice the wonderful life, to experience the wonderful life that God has given. And it's an abundant life. And you need to understand and practice it. And John is encouraging and looking for the believing heart to join him and all believers in the enjoyment and exercise of being saved. Therefore, in verse 4, as we shared together, "And these things write we unto you." Why? Purpose. "That your joy may be full." Full. Full. In other words, it should be full to start. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive the fullness of himself. You don't receive a partial portion of Christ. You receive a fullness, the fullness of God in Christ, and you receive that as your Savior. Fullness. You have that at the beginning. And that's the verb, perfect tense, passive. You look forward. You've been filled completely. You are to be kept being full. Keep being full completely in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And of what? Of joy. And we share together that joy, that root word, to rejoice, to be glad, the verb, to be pleased, to take pleasure. What pleases the gods, the Greeks would use it. Of the Greeks would look to their gods, and their gods would have pleasure, and that's what the word would be used. This is the pleasure of the gods, the joy, the pleasure, the delight of the gods. Now, so that's our word. So the joy, the property of a thing, which makes it give joy, as it were. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and keep in mind, if you would, as we're proceeding, God is awesome, his nature, his essence, his being, and he's glorious. God is glorious. Everything he does is glorious. So what God does is for his glory. Creation, us creatures, are for his glory and honor. We're to be new, 2 Corinthians and 5 and 17. We're to be new creatures, a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are to be enjoying God. And thus, anything God does, the heavens and the earth, are to be for his glory. And we're created for his glory and honor. We're to be able to share and enjoy his awesome person. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God's glory, so there's nothing he does that isn't glorious. It isn't a pleasure to him to do. It is his delight to do. He is God. It has to be a joy, a pleasure. God doesn't do anything for displeasure. He does it for his glory, to exalt, to show forth his awesome person. That's what he's doing. And in doing so, it has all the words to rejoice, grace, all of the words that express God is love, God is peace, God is joy. All of it is expressed and explained in his awesome person. There's no moment that God isn't God, being God. And all that God is doing is a pleasure to him. It is a delight for him to do. Always the end result of everything is his glory and honor. When it's all done, when man has lived and died, it's going to be ultimately for his honor and for his glory. Now, having said that, joy, and we were looking at that. So when you receive the Lord as your Savior, God provides a unique relationship to him. And in the process of that relationship, you enjoy what is called eternal life. John 17:3. Eternal life is to know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. So we're to know him. Life. Well, what is involved in this life? God. Well, what is involved in God? A joy, peace, love. That's in God. It's God. You're enjoying a relationship to God. And who is God? God is God. And you're going to have. So you can't be related to God, know God as your Savior, without having all the benefits. Whether we understand them and enjoy them and experience them is something else. Now, having said that, and we shared in the light of Isaiah last week, so go over to Zephaniah. Over to Zephaniah in chapter 3. And just to show you, Haggai, Zephaniah, Haggai. And you will note, Zephaniah chapter 3. And you will note, remember now, God. So we're looking at God. We already just tried to remind ourselves that God is, how can God be God without being joyous? It's a pleasure for God to be God. It's a delight for God to be God. He's glorious. The artist, whatever he does with the brush, he delights in doing so to express his art, his ability to create. The Michelangelo, his ability to create. Hang on. Now, here's Zephaniah. And in verse 16, in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee, he's in the middle, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee. Rejoice over thee how? With joy, the verb and the noun. Wow, rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, silent in his love. He's doing what he's doing. And in his love, he doesn't do some things. You think, God, why don't you fix this, God? And in his love, he rests. He waits. Right now, we're waiting for the tribulation. And the Israel is going to wait 7 years before he comes. He's waiting. He waits. His providential timing. He waits. Verse 17, he will rest in his love. Joy over thee with singing. So you can't, you understand, that's the character of God, Old Testament, New Testament. Now, and having said of that, remember us humans, he is God's wonderful, wonderful person. And when we go and we said, until we receive the Lord as our Savior, we live a normal, ordinary, ordinary kind of existence, and we carry it on, little or limited, whatever it is, and we do so. And we're caught up with the world in which we live, understandably. And we're caught up in it. That's what we do. That's what we breathe, we hear, we get out of bed and go to bed in the light of it. That's what we do. Now, and that gobbles up our mind and heart so that it dominates, it prevails. To see it a little bit, Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, and you will note, I'll read verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as God is good and he's glorious, but as for me, here I am, I acknowledge what I read, count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of trial and test. I say that. I agree with that. But, verse 2, as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. 4, I was envious. Why was I like that? For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. 4, there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. In other words, the world around me is dominating my mind. I agree with all the wonderful truths and the reality. I agree with it. I agree, God. I agree you're like that. But for me, I don't have that. I don't have that, God. I'm looking. That's my problem. That's our problem. When it says, count it all joy, hang on. Why can't I catch that? Because I've limited my thinking to be earthbound. I've limited my thinking to what I'm experiencing, what I'm looking and seeing. That's what I'm doing. And you know it says in Romans 6 and 11, we're to go and we're to count ourselves dead in sin and alive unto God. But we don't count ourselves dead. We count ourselves as alive. And it's our feeling, our fears, our faults. There they are. And the believing heart has to get through that. And verse 14, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. It's part of my life, part of my world. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. As for me, I'm not experiencing the joy. I'm not experiencing. When I thought to know it, it was too painful for me to have to think about what I'm facing. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. I was looking envious at the world around me, people, persons, places, problems, pleasures. I was looking at it. And then I got in the sanctuary and I looked at God, and all of a sudden it all disappeared. What was really great wasn't the things around me. It wasn't how people were having position, pride, possessions, power. It wasn't about that. It's not about that. They have nothing. They are as grass. God, I need to look to you. And that's what he did, the psalmist, sliding down. Verse 22, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holding me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. I got my focus so that I could see and I could understand. So society didn't take me, my job, my health, my wealth, my family, all of these things. They take me. Society, where society is going, what society is doing. And like using it simply, his little children. And little children have this little doll, make believe. They have this doll, a nice little doll they got, wonderful little thing they got. But the doll is broken, and the child weeps because the doll is broken. The doll is broken. You and I would look. We don't see that. The little child does. We look at our world like that little child, our experiences. But God doesn't see it that way. God doesn't see it like that. The father doesn't see it. The little girl does. She only feels it. It's real, very real. She doesn't understand. So God, what are you trying to do? You're trying to help us to get focused, to understand. So if we're going to go, what did you want? You want us to have wonderful, wonderful joy. You want us to be a receiver. Now, in order to get that, so you don't lose it, and then we'll run it together. Over to 1 John, the Gospel of John again, which you would know. The Gospel of John and chapter 1. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, a person comes to know the Lord as their Savior. How do they come to know the Lord as their Savior? Chapter 1 and in verse 12 directly. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, the right, the privilege to become children, sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. The verb underlined in your mind, verse 12, as many as received him. Now, you can accept him and never receive him. You can accept Christ and never be saved. I can accept Washington lived, but I don't know him. I have nothing to do with him. Now, so God, what are you saying? When, in order to have a valid, real, awesome relationship to God, I've got to receive him. What's he going to do when I receive him? I got to receive him. Verse 16, and of his fullness have all we received. There's your verb. And grace in place of grace in place of grace, like the waves of the ocean. Grace upon grace. How did I get this saved? I received him as my Savior. And he, in the grace of God, he's going to provide a daily, wonderful movement like the waves of the ocean, grace upon grace. God is going to give of himself to be our God and Savior one every single hour of the day. He's going to be, what are we going to do? We're going to receive his wonderful grace to provide for us over and over and over. Hang on to that. Got to receive it. Colossians. Colossians, and if I may, chapter 2. And in Colossians chapter 2, picking up, if I may, verse 6, as you would know, as you have therefore received, got to receive something. Christ Jesus the Lord, as you received him, That's how you're going to walk and live, by reception. Grace upon grace upon grace. That's how you're going to go. Verse 7, rooted and grounded and built up in him and established in the faith, the body of truth, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You're going to go grace upon grace upon grace, and you're going to receive. You need to receive. You need to receive. So we've got to receive it. And we just did the grace. Now, therefore, now do that. A little exercise again to lock it in, to get it a little more. Second Corinthians, and chapter 9. Second Corinthians chapter 9, picking up again where we were, verse 15. I'll read verse 14. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace, there's a word you just had it in John, of God in you. They received the grace of God. They received Christ as a Savior, and then they received, verse 16, grace upon grace upon grace. That's it. And they're being recognized that they have received the grace of God. Therefore, verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable, beyond all explanation and no way to talk. There's no way to tell, to explain the gift, to value the gift, to give a word. It's very valuable. No good. Very rich. No, it's an unspeakable gift. A gift, that's right. And the word thanks, we're reminding you, is the word grace. Same word, grace, grace. Only it's translated thanks, thanks. Now, reception. If I receive the grace of God and I experience the grace, God's saving me, God's doing it. I am I'm full of grace. I recognize his grace. What can I do? I respond to his grace. And what's the response to his grace? Thank you. Thank you. I'm graced. Thank you. I'm graced. Thank you for gracing me. Thank you. Grace. Thank you. That's how it's translated. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. The word grace. Grace. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory. 1 Corinthians 15. Grace. Grace. It's grace received. You have to receive it. You can't talk about it or possess it if you don't receive it. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, having said that, we share together in doing it, so you see it in God's love. God's is love. God loves us. John, 1 John 4, etc. And God loves us, and God is love. And verse 19, 1 John 4, we love him because he first loved us. What are we doing? How are we going to love God if we don't know his love? God, I thank you. God so loved the world that he gave his son. When we are being loved and we receive the love. If I don't receive the love, God loves me now. God loves you. He loves us. If I don't receive that, I have no response. If I am thanking God, looking to God, letting his love, I love being loved. I love being loved. God wants the very best, which is himself, and I want what God wants. I love being loved. Why? Because I receive the love, and it comes right out of me again that I'm receiving and enjoying the grace. I'm enjoying the love, and I experience it. It's mine. I'm being loved. I'm being saved. I'm being loved. You understand? See, someone can say something, I say, I love you. You can say, I love you. And boy, that's good. Thank you. See? But you didn't. You didn't get. I'm willing to give myself to you for the very best in your life. You didn't catch that. I'm not. Don't use you now. Just, we got to receive the love. You can say, I love each other, but what's, if you don't receive it, if you receive it, then you're what? You're loving being loved. You're responding. If you just take it in, well, thank you, see? But that's it. You want to be able to enjoy it. Thank you. Jeanette loves me and puts up with me. And she tells me that. Not that she don't say the second part. Just the first part. Do you got it? That's what she's doing. She's giving herself. And I say, I don't deserve it, but thank you. I love being loved. You'd never know it, but anyway. You got the idea? You got it. That's grace, love, joy. What are we going to do with joy? God in his wonderful, wonderful grace is going to go and do a wonderful thing, enjoy. God delights in being God. It's his pleasure to be God. And the word joy and grace all come from the same rejoicing verb. So therefore, God delights, it's God's pleasure. It's God's pleasure it was God's delight to die on the cross for me, and God's delight to do so. And I delight in what he delights in. I delight in being saved. I'm delighting, joy, pleasure, joy. I'm delighted. I take pleasure. I have joy in being saved. I'm not sad about being saved, are you? Are you mad about being saved? See? No. You ought to be glad you're saved. And you're glad. You're exercising, that you've received something and you're actually receiving it. When you eat your food, and you God, what did you do to make us want to eat, among other things? You gave us a tongue with wonderful taste buds till you get to be 102 and then they don't taste anymore. But up to that, here you are. Your taste buds. Think of all the statements God makes. Taste and see that I am good. Taste and see that I'm gracious. What's the taste? Why do you take the food? You receive the food to receive the, because you know it's going to taste. And you're looking to experience the taste that's on the table in your mouth. You're looking to taste the food. You experience it. Just like grace and love and joy and what you eat. God gave you the food. And then you sent it down. Once you sent it down, it isn't so good. And it isn't. Forget bringing it up to taste it, okay? Did you get that part? Don't bring it up to taste it. Once you get it past your mouth and it gets down, I suggest you leave it down and let it finish its job. What's it going to do? You're going to assimilate it. Digest it, assimilate it. It's going to become part of you. And you are glad. You are joy. You want to take pleasure and delight in the food as you take it, because you receive it. If you don't receive it, and you don't exercise that which God has given, then you don't know it. You don't know it. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John and chapter 15. And you will note, in our Lord preparing, here's 1 John 1:4, I want, these are written so that you might have joy, the fullness of joy. He's coming from his 3 1/3 years with the Lord, that wonderful night in the upper room where our Lord explained to him, to them, to John, to them, he explained to them a wonderful, wonderful experience you're going to have. You're going to have a wonderful exercise of God's personal presence in your life. And in doing so, it's going to be joyous, joyous thing. God can't, everything God does, it is his pleasure to do so. It is delight. He lets people fall in order that they might learn. It's his, the process. Don't lose the process. Here's the product. There has to be a process to get the product. You have to go through the process to get the product. You have to learn to grow, to stumble through week after week, and then the third or fourth week, it clicks, you see. You got to go through the process. It's a joyous, wonderful process. Now, so chapter 15, what did you tell them? Chapter 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you. Why? Chapter 13, 14, 15. Why? These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I want you to enjoy, I enjoy saving you, and I want you to enjoy being saved. How's that? I enjoy saving you so that you can enjoy being saved. That's right. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Why? How can it be so? Because God delights in saving me, delights in saving us in a most wonderful way. So what are we saying? Joy out of obedience. God, what are we going to do? We're going to obey you. We're going to listen to your word. We're going to honor your word. Why? That we can have joy. We got to understand. That's why we're reading. Receive. So that you can have the joy. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, sliding along in John chapter 16. And in John chapter 16, picking up if I may, and you will note, and I'll read verse 22. 16:22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. and your joy no man taketh from you. You're gonna be very sad. I'm gonna be crucified, but I'm gonna rise again, and I'm gonna do something wonderful. That's why John is writing in 1 John. Why are you writing 1 John? I want you to know this thing that God, what is God doing? He gave us a wonderful joy, and we're supposed to be experiencing and enjoying being joyous. Therefore, no man taketh it from you. Verse 23, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive. Receive. That purpose, your joy may be full. I want to be your God. Ask. Look to me to be saving, keeping, guiding, everything. And like in Sunday school, I'm the one centerpiece. Anything and everything, keep your eye on me as you go down the corridor of time. Now, having said that, so here we are looking, and God, you're going to give joy out of receiving, right? That's right. You're going to receive. We just did that with grace and love and joy. We did it. That's what we do. We receive. And when we receive, we reap the benefit. If we receive it truly, and if we take the food and eat it, then we receive it. We have the benefits. We have it. Wonderful thing. John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, picking up, if I can, oh, you'll catch it, verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, reason that they may be one, oneness, as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world. I'm telling you now, so John, it's all going to be written down, John chapter 17. I'm doing it in the world. Why? That they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. They might have. I'm telling it, I want it all written down so that what? They can have my joy in themselves. They can enjoy the relationship that I intended to have, that I intend to have, that I want them to have in a most wonderful way. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I may, so God, you're going to go, and we receive love, we receive grace, we receive, it's his pleasure, it's his delight, it's his joy, and we're supposed to just enjoy being saved, letting God be our God and Savior, and he's going to make the joy full, a full, wonderful, 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 wonderful experience to enjoy this grace. Now, having said that, and we share together, taste and see that the Lord is good, etc. And God's going to do that. While you're doing it, why not? Over to 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, chapter 2, and may I pick up the thought in the light of our talking, tasting, and God says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Here, 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 3. If so be, you have tasted, there's your word, that the Lord is gracious. You've saved, been saved. Then, if you're going to taste that he's gracious, and you understand he died on the cross to save you, he's chosen of God, he's very precious, and you're going to be a living, lively stone. Stone, verse 5. I built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You have a wonderful relationship, and therefore, sliding down, verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him should not be confounded. Therefore, our believing on our Lord and Savior, we've tasted to see that he's gracious. Verse 7, unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. God, what do we do? Well, it's precious. It's a wonderful thing to God. That's a wonderful thing to us. It's a wonderful thing. He died on the cross. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, 1 Corinthians. But not to us. It's the power of God. Wonderful, wonderful to be saved. Wonderful, God. Joy and not sad. Of all the things in life that we look at and caught up in, we need to understand there's a whole nother thing to remember. You live in this body. You have to feed it, nourish it, take pills and pain and headache and heartache. You got all of that. That's true, you live in this body. But you also have a relationship, if you're saved, to God. And while I have to experience this body 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I also, at the same moment, have a wonderful saving relationship to Almighty God in the person of Christ. And it is a delight, it is His delight, His pleasure to bring me joy. What do you mean? That which He pleasures, I am able to enjoy what is a pleasure to God. I am able to enjoy what is a delight to God. God delights to save us in a most wonderful way. Look with me over in Ephesians chapter 1. And you remember it. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in you. Wow. God's delighted, and I'm delighted that God is able to save this vessel of dust. And so are you. Delighted. Delighted. It's my joy. So in all the sad things and bad everything and make you distress, all the D's, discouraged, depressed, depleted, all of them, they're all there. But at the same time, you have a relationship to God and you've received Him and all that He is, you've received, so that all that He is in you is to be enjoyed, a relationship. And that relationship makes for joy. It's a delight. It's a delight to God to be saving you right now. Boom, 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 boom. Even though you're living in this body and some of you got pain and all kinds of things, we got things, boy, we got them. But at the same moment, that is going to disappear. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16. All of that's going, but not this part. Not Christ in me. No, it's a pleasure to you, God. Why are you writing John, 1 John 1, 4, that your joy might be full? I want you to have fullness of joy. Not a little cup. I want a fullness of it, the fullness of joy. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. An abundance, a life overflowing. Now, in that wonderful, so you can say, I don't need experience joy. Now, here's the winter, and here's the branches. And John 15, 4 and 5, you abide in me, and my word abides in you. The branch and the vine and the branch, the attached. And the tree, the branch, the tree feeds from the ground. That branch up there, that little branch. And that little branch is enjoying everything. It's enjoying the flow of water, nourishment, everything, the sap, all of it's flowing in and out, like in your body, your blood flow, in and out. And what's it doing? It's providing a wonderful existence, life, the life of the tree in the branch. But the branch isn't producing it. The branch isn't full of joy. The tree's full of joy. And the branch is so related to the tree that it enjoys the joy. The joy is God's. And that's what you're enjoying. That's what you're meant to enjoy. You're His. You're His body. Yeah, it can't be more than that. You're His body. You're a believer. You belong to God. You have an enjoyment of His wonderful, wonderful person in a wonderful, wonderful way. And so it isn't I need to experience. You could be very sad, very sad, very mad. But in the same breath, quite comfortable with God. Thank you. Think of it. You've all had it. Pain, headache, heartaches, all the different things that come our way. And then we have to stop and just take a moment and make sure in all of that's around us that we're experiencing because of this body, that we're looking to God, and God is delighted to be who he is and do what he does in the way that he does it, when he does it. Like in Jerusalem coming up, God says, "You, the people in Jerusalem are going to be one joy to me." The believers sitting together are a joy to me, and that overrides my particular problem. I have it, it didn't go away, but I understand. My joy remains full. Understand? The problem didn't take it away. Where is it safe? It's safe in Christ, in God, in my heart. That's why my joy is safe. God's pleasure and delight to be my God, to be our God and Savior. Our Father and God, thank you a little bit as we think, as we understand. So deal with us, God. Thank you, Spirit of God. After all, God, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Yep, Spirit of God, it's your assignment to make sure that we just understand that your delight to recognize, to make possible the wonderful benefit of Calvary's cross, so that, Father, we can be joyous, a joy. It is a joy for us. It is a pleasure and delight for us to be before you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.